Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Friday, August 1st, 2014. It's just after 2 UTC. I'm Sam Minter. Yvonne Bo is with us again. Hello, Yvonne.
Hello, hello, hello.
So once again, I have an empty house.
Wow.
My wife is intentionally doing things to keep my son occupied. I was working from home today. And he gets out of school at like 2 o'clock.
You posted that thing about your pictures for last month.
Well, I did that before my work hours anyway.
No, that's not the reason. But the thing is that I saw that your webcam and I was looking at it. And I'm like, is that live? Is he at home?
Yeah, no.
So you were. Okay. All right.
Yeah, I know. I was working from home today because I had no meetings. But, you know, it was so I did like some of my own stuff before about 10 a.m. Then I switched and I did start doing work stuff around town, and I caught up with my email. I was all excited, and then I got into some project stuff, and I actually kind of started feeling icky. So like, it wasn't a super productive afternoon, but like, you know, whatever. I'll make up for tomorrow or something. But
I know those days. We all have those days. There are days that you're at the office. I mean,
this would not have been
your productivity is like. Like Nick, I mean, oh, you yeah. know, look, oh my look. God!
Here, this is good this Lord. Is the kind of day I had. Like, okay, I had a few good hours where I was productive and got stuff done, and then I sort of hit a wall.
I hit that wall,
and it wasn't like after. And I admit it wasn't after like 6 or 7 hours. It was after like maybe four, you know, maybe 3 or 4, more like 4. But at that point, I hit a wall, and I was like. I tried to keep doing stuff, but I couldn't get my mind on anything. I did a little bit here and there. I made some very slow progress. And if I'd been in the office, it would have been exactly the same fucking thing.
It would have been no better, if not worse. Okay? Because I sometimes think that when you're at the office and you hit the wall, you're kind of like, even like, well, I'm at the office, right? So I could hit a wall here. I could just freaking like, you know, I could just freaking like hit the wall all day, for God's sakes. I'm in the office, you know, I'm clocking hours, you know, I think people feel like because it's true because you're there. Right. OK. You know, so but when you're I feel like when you're working from home and I hit the wall, to me, I'm like more I feel like more pressure to be even like more productive at home than when I'm at the office. Okay.
I'll tell you what, I do this sometimes when I'm at work too. But at a certain point, I was just like, "This ain't working. I give up."
Oh yeah, I mean sometimes you got to do that. I mean,
I was like, "I'll call it a half day if I have to," but I'm
yeah, done whatever. Here. But just you're done. You know, it's just it's not happening. You know, it's not happening. So yeah, I get that.
I sort of chilled for a little while, but at 2 o'clock is when we normally pick up Alex from school, or where my wife does when I'm at the office. And so this time she picked him up, but then she took him to the mall to meet my daughter, and they've just been hanging out at the mall ever since.
Oh, there you go.
And he wants to come home. They're like, no, we're going out to dinner now. But he's like, but if I come home, tell you what. I'll only go upstairs when I have a question for Daddy. Because he knows we're doing the podcast.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. You know, so anyway, and I'm still kind of feeling that because it's also like.
Also, can I mention something also? Yeah, yeah. I was going to tweet this. I did not tweet this, but I probably should. I'm such a curmudgeon. I'm turning into a curmudgeon. I mean, I'm really – I know what our show is, Curmudgeon's Corner.
Yep.
But I am just getting a little bit more curmudgeonly as we're going along. I realized, you know, I go to everybody's house, right? And they all have got Samsung TVs. Samsung here, Samsung there, Samsung. You know, they sell appliances. Even you bought some. I bought a fridge, but I gotta be honest with you. I can't. What brand I prefer if I'm gonna buy a TV or something sound wise. I still like buying Sony.
I was gonna say you are a long time Sony loyalist.
I still have Sony TVs, and I have Sony alarm clocks. Okay, all right, at my house. I have some very I bought they make the sound the audio equipment for they still make is better than this other shit that other people make. So yeah, I still have frickin' yeah. I still my two big TVs in my home are Sony's. I'm like, go look at the Samsung. I'm like, well, the other day, well, there's something. We had a discussion. I have another Sony TV at home because actually, graciously, my brother-in-law bought a new Samsung to replace his old Sony. I said, oh, fuck that. I'll take your old Sony. Oh. I don't care. Give me that damn thing. He had a bigger TV than one. So I went, so that way, he had the exact same TV I had in my living room except a bigger one.
Yeah.
Okay. So I was like, perfect. I'll take it. Are you kidding me?
And
so
then you got a person's truck and stuff.
Yeah.
You told the story.
So
already.
I did the whole thing. No. But the thing about it is that the reason I did that is because the sound quality. I don't know. Samsung makes TVs. You can't hear a damn thing in the damn TVs.
So I'm taking it. You get the sound directly from the TV too. You don't have it hooked up to a
system. No. It is. I have a surround sound system. You know, it's Bose. Okay. It's very nice. But the thing is that there are times I don't want all the surround sound stuff. I'm just listening to dialogue. I'm watching a little news program. I don't need the surround sound on to watch the news.
Okay.
I mean, if I'm watching a movie, then sure, I'll fire up the surround sound. But if I'm watching CNBC or I'm listening to some guys yak on ESPN, I don't need surround sound for that.
Okay.
So anyway, I don't know. So yeah, sound. So yeah, but the reason I mentioned that today, Sony announced also, you know, today, geez, I thought they were going to go out of business the way they were going, but they actually announced that they had a tidy profit. Okay. Basically on the heels of the PlayStation 4, which apparently has been quite popular, even though you and I don't probably own. Do you own an Xbox or one of these things?
No, I own no game system consoles. I am just not a gamer. We considered way back when the Wiis were like, there was a big thing about the Wiis. We were like, yeah, maybe we'll get one of those.
I did buy a Wii, and the thing about the Wii.
You used it like three times, and you never used it again.
Yeah, you never used it again.
And our thing was, you know, when we were... the time that we thought about it, when everybody was talking about it, they were, of course, hard to get. And by the time they weren't hard to get anymore, we're like, ah, screw it.
Yeah. We just don't
do that kind of thing. I mean, but like, we play, like, casual games on the iPad. We're not, like, gamers, you know?
All my nephews have, like, either Xbox Ones or PlayStation 4s or something or whatever. They're all massive gamers. I mean, I see them playing all this stuff all the time. So, I mean, there's still quite a demand. I mean, Microsoft and Sony sold over 10 million of these freaking consoles in the first half of the year, at least, you know, I mean, and they're not cheap, you know, so obviously there's still quite a lot of people out there who really like these things. And I mean, my nephews play on them all the damn time, you know, I never see them stop. So anyway, that was just my thing. I was like, you know, yeah, I'm a curmudgeon. I still buy an
Xbox. Yeah, the gamiest thing we've ever played is we were into the Portal thing.
I had PlayStation 2, but I did have one, but I have not had one. I will say this, and if my son wants to get one, I'm not gonna object. I can play with him.
Yeah.
You know, he's still not there yet, but I figured that since his cousins have one, I'm sure he's gonna be like, yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, the one last thing I was going to say about productivity is I may have, even though I had no meetings today and blah, 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 I may have made a bad choice by staying home, because the other thing is, the last couple weeks here, and of course, you're the whole Florida thing, but I'll tell you, it's been warmer here. It hasn't been, like, super extraordinary hot, but again, with the tendency here, and including my house, to not have central air...
Right.
Even when the outside is in the high 70s, which is, you know, if there's a breeze, that's pleasant.
Yeah.
Inside of the house,
it's like 80.
Heats up. Yeah. Like at this very moment when I'm speaking to you, my office where I'm sitting is 81 degrees according to the little thermometer I have right here.
Ouch.
And I do have like the little portable air conditioner unit in my office, but like, you know, it's whatever. But it wasn't on lately, and I turned it off for the show. But, you know, and so part of my hitting the wall as soon as I did may have been I was hot and uncomfortable.
That, I will tell you something. That I'm pretty sure had something to do with it. I can tell you, look, I remember when I was at school. Not high school, but elementary school. Okay, yeah. Our elementary school in Puerto Rico did not have air conditioning. Okay, all right. Let me tell you something. All right, when it got that hot, believe me, our student productivity went to the crapper.
Oh,
all right? Oh my God, you know, you couldn't focus on crap. Okay, you know, there's just no way. So, I'm sure that had something to do with it. So, absolutely.
Tomorrow I have one meeting. I am going into the office tomorrow. I will do the normal workday thing. I had some writing to do. Like, the first part of the what I was productive was in the morning was like email, but in the afternoon I had like a document I wanted to sit down and write. And usually I'm better at that kind of stuff at home than I am at the office, but not today. Not today.
Okay.
Anyway, we'll try again tomorrow, and
Try to be productive tomorrow. I know that I've got call. I have not had a chance to have any days like this. For the most part, I've been on wall to wall calls. Okay. All right. Starting early, going through the whole day. I mean, I just have not. I mean, I've been lately. It's just been like nuts. I gotta. Oh gosh, everything's just like, today somebody asked me, he's like, what are you doing? Well, I've got 5 contracts at the same time I'm trying to work on in front of me open right now. Yeah, I'm like 5. I'm like, Jesus, 5? I'm gonna lose my marbles at this rate. Anyway,
and as soon as we get off the phone here, I'm turning the air conditioner back on. Anyway, we have, you know, I send Yvonne a list. And yes. It was a long list because I told Yvonne, like, here's the thing, like, when I'm really into some topics, I won't send a long list. I'll send a really here's like 3 things I really want to talk
list. I'm and, like and, looking at this thing, I'm like, what the hell?
And because this is what I was, there was nothing immediately coming to my mind, so I was just looking through stuff, looking to see things to talk about. So I had, you know, as I was writing the list yesterday, like everybody was tweeting about Sharknado, the Israel is still going on, we got Russia sanctions, we have Snowden, I think today maybe his 1 year in Russia runs out, so what's going to happen there. We've had a lot of people doing articles about the changing ecosystem of making money on mobile apps. I had posted some stuff about being annoyed about certain aspects of cord cutting and you know, blah blah blah. George Will made some comments about the undocumented miners coming across the border. We have the 2014 Senate race, which is looking really freaking close in terms of control of the Senate. We have the whole debate over how graphic should images of war be from the various theaters of war out there right now. We had a number of people posting about how they felt they were moving left over time, and I tweeted some stuff about how I agreed with that. There was somebody posting an article about generic drugs, you know, buying, you know, generic acetaminophen versus Tylenol or whatever. We had the stuff about the do not fly list. We have the Obama lawsuit approved by the House. We have, you know, some guy did some tests where he had Verizon and he was looking at Netflix and it was really slow, and he connected through a VPN and suddenly it was fast, sort of proving that Verizon is doing something specifically against Netflix. We have the whole controversy over impeachment and blah blah blah. We touched on that last week. We have and just today,
I'm gonna impeach Sam, I think.
That sounds like a plan. And we have immigration and CIA spying on Congress, which both hit the news today because of things happening. Anyway, the point is, here's just...
You were not really, like, excited about
it. I was not excited about any of these things. They were all sort of like, eh, we could talk about that. But Yvonne picked a couple to start us out, and yes, we'll see where this goes. We have the sanctions against Russia.
Yes.
We do have the impeachment thing, which, you know, everybody is now like, we'll talk about that too. And then Argentina defaulted, yes, on their debt. And then, yeah, well, we had a really long show last week. Let's start with those three, see where we end up, and we'll see where we end up.
Yeah.
How's that sound? So
yeah.
why don't we actually start, actually, let's take a break.
Break.
Because last time we did a freaking almost an hour without taking a break. We've done 14 minutes now. Let's take a break. We'll be back after this, and we'll talk about one of Yvonne's topics there.
Bring me the elephant. conference account information.
Okay, we're back. So, Yvonne, let's start with the one of these I know the least about. Let's talk about Argentina.
Argentina. Okay. All right. So, Argentina has been in the news because about 12 years ago they had defaulted on a whole bunch of under debt. Okay. They went out and they renegotiated a lot of debt, and most people took deals on this renegotiated debt. Except there were certain people that didn't. And I didn't understand why they've had these holdouts, and these guys were litigating in U.S. court. And I never read until recently, started digging deep, well, why in God's name are they litigating the bonds in a U.S. court? Okay, all right? I don't get it. All right, okay? So, you know, I started digging into it, and most bonds, for example, at some point, especially if you're going for foreign government, they have to list where, in case of a dispute, disputes would be settled. Okay?
Okay.
You're a guy that's borrowing money. You're borrowing it from a country. Okay, all right? At some point, it's got to be under the sovereign rights of somebody. Well, here's the problem. So, U.S. bonds are litigated in U.S. court. Okay? Because for the most part, everybody will buy a U.S. bond because they trust the U.S. government. If they go to court, they feel that they're going to get a fair shake. So everybody's okay with that. Well, when Argentina, because they've had a history of freaking like not paying their debts on time, well, they were selling some bonds and they were like, well, we're not going to trust you unless it's really in a fair court. So they actually agreed in the sale of those bonds for them to be ruled by law of the United States. Okay?
Okay.
Simple as that. And that's how Argentina's wound up a U.S. court basically having to defend themselves against collection over these bonds. Okay? A number of hedge funds bought them when Argentina defaulted. Bought them on cents on the dollar, and they have been going on court. They've been demanding, you know what? You went and you paid everybody else. You gave them a 60, 70 cent haircut. You know what? We demand full payment. We don't give a shit. Okay? And they have been banging and banging and banging and banging. And basically, they've gotten to the point where they actually have been able to. There was, you see, this whole thing. A couple of years ago, when they went and forced a whole bunch of other bondholders to take these discounts, one of the reasons they agreed to it is said, you can't go in the future and offer somebody else better terms on the other bonds, because if you do, then you have to give those to us. Well, if they go and they repay these bonds, which they had but not been like paying on, they would have to give that money to the rest of the people. So all of a sudden, this just turned into a fucking clusterfuck. The Argentina government, first, they've been calling the U.S. They've been saying insults to the about the judge. They've been saying all sorts of crap. Anyway, bottom line is, they've been like calling, you know, the vultures are trying to take our money, blah, blah, blah. And then for a long time, they had been trying to avoid dealing with it, and well, bottom line is that today they hadn't dealt with it. They stopped paying under debt, period. And well, the markets didn't take it too well. Argentina has quite a lot of outstanding debt. Okay, so if they don't pay on it, then a lot of people are going to get hurt. Okay, so I guess that, you know, nobody liked the fact that Argentina was getting. Now, I think it's a short-term thing, but I just found it quite amusing that basically that a country like Argentina had to wind up issuing debt. I mean, think of a U.S. bond, for example, were issued, and we're going to do it under the laws of Singapore, just to pick somewhere.
Uh-huh.
I mean, whatever. And that's the situation you've got with these Argentina bonds. They just picked a country, and they wound up picking the U.S.
So now, have they reneged on all debt? Have they just wiped their debt clean, or did they just renege on some of it, or what?
They had a number of payments due, like right now, that basically, I think that they're technically have not issued payments on any other debt right now, as far as I can tell.
Have they just missed payments, or have they said
they have missed a payment right now? No, they have missed a payment right now.
I know, but they have missed payments, but have they said, and we're not going to pay any payments in the future either?
No. They've been offering different deals, and they have been offering certain things, but they have not been able to come to an agreement on one that that meets, you know, that everybody's acceptable. They have not been able to come to one.
Okay.
Now, Argentina, I'll tell you this. I forgot about the really great angle.
Yes.
Here's even better, right? Since Argentina couldn't offer better terms to anybody else, right? The government of Argentina wound up going and like goading a group of banks in Argentina to offer to pay the debt on the behalf of the Argentina government.
Wait, who is going to pay it?
A group of Argentinian banks.
Okay, yeah.
Got under it. Pressure from the government. They basically put it under their head and said, you got to help us. So they were trying to cobble, because the actual debt in question, out of the $100+ billion of Argentina debt, was only about $1 billion, $2 billion, okay, total. All right? So, because here's the thing, right? If they went and they paid for it, right, but it wasn't the government offering the better terms, they wouldn't have to offer the other terms to other people. So therefore, technically, these guys could get paid. We're out of here. We're done. And I didn't really offer better terms to anybody because I didn't pay for it. Somebody else did. Which was the craziest deal I've ever heard in my life. I was just hearing about this. It's like, I don't know, if the U.S. government went and said, well, I can't pay Social Security, why don't I put a gun to the head of Chase and everybody else and have them pay for that? I thought that was kind of an interesting
angle. Now, let me make sure I have the analogy right then. The correct analogy here to, like, a personal household thing is not declaring bankruptcy. It's more like you missed a credit card payment.
Yes. Correct.
Okay.
Yep. Basically, that's where they're at.
So, which, in the big scheme of things, you know, missing one credit card payment, okay, that sucks. That's going to hurt your credit rating. Well, but if you have a plan to get back on track and start paying again, that's not the same thing as just declaring, you know, we're done. We can't pay a damn thing. Zero it all out. We suck.
Well, yes, true. Now, there's another thing. The thing is that a lot of people, you know, in credit markets now, they trade on these credit default swaps, which is basically insurance on debt, okay? Now, what they were going out is they were trying to figure out whether this missed payment actually triggered the default rules of that. And so that means that the people that sold the insurance have to pay on the bonds.
Uh-huh.
So that's been also going on, because that means
Because this is the big question on all of these things. Like, if it was just, hey, Argentina missed a payment, okay, whatever. The only people who should care are Argentina's bondholders.
Right.
But is there a cascading effect where because of things like this, it's going to affect the whole world's economy?
Yes, that's what people are talking about right now. And, you know, since we had a lot of those same effects with, like, the mortgage crisis, like, a while back, you know, people are wondering how far did this effect goes. Now, a lot of banks and a lot of institutions got rid of most of this shit in the last couple of years after the crisis. But, you know, everybody's still nervous because nobody really knows exactly what the fuck anybody's holding in the books that they're not really saying. So, yeah, there's a lot of jitters out there regarding what the real fallout of it is because of who the hell is holding swaps and other things and other instruments that are, you know, related to this debt.
So are we talking about a potential of the same kind of downward spiral we were talking about in 2009?
I don't think so. I don't. And the reason why I say that is because, look, Argentina's defaulted under debt before. It happened not that long ago. It happened in 2001, and the world didn't come to an end. All right. I think people are jittery about it right now because of all the shit that we've gone over the last 8 years. But I really don't think that it's going to be a spiral. But it's causing a lot of people to really be jittery. That's for sure.
So we had a big market sell off today. It was, I don't know what it was in a percentage basis, but back to the beginning of the year, basically.
We lost about, it wasn't that much. I guess the market was not that up this year. I mean, yeah. I guess we had a really up market last year. I had not realized that the Dow is only about, what the heck, 300, so what is that, like 2% down?
I don't know.
Not that much. Anyway. It's about 2%.
Yeah, that's not huge.
No.
I mean,
not at all.
Yeah, when the whole market drops more than a percent, you still are talking about it. It's a big deal, right. But it's not like
No.
What was 87? Like, it's not like it was happening
like in 2008 when I was fucking like swigging like I don't know tequila because I was like Jesus Christ, the fucking time I looked at the stock market, I wanted to cry. But no, it's not like that right now. No, not really.
Okay, so no big deal in the end.
As far as I think it's not going to be a big deal. I just thought it was quite interesting the fact that you know somebody would go out and. I mean, just think about it. Think about if you borrowed money and you decided to borrow the money. Well, I'm gonna have this contract be ruled by the laws of Canada, for example, not the U.S. So also, you're getting sued. You're getting sued, and you have to go to fight the battle in court in Canada. You know what I'm saying? It's just kind of bizarre. If you ask me, I don't know what you think, but I thought it was dumb. You know,
does that mean in any contract whatsoever, I can pick the country I like best?
Actually, the reality is that the answer is yes. In most contracts, you can go. People will pick where disputes will be settled based on the laws of where. Now, there's usually has to be some relation where there a part of the transaction happened well, payment happens there or something or whatever.
That's but the key. You and me can't just come to a deal tomorrow and say. Governed by the laws of Botswana.
But let's say you're in Seattle. I mean, you're in Washington State. I'm in Florida. We're going to enter into a contract. Obviously, we're going to have to transact the payment.
We'll pick Washington or Florida, right? The question is whether we could pick something completely unrelated. No,
you could pick something else depending on where you're recording the debt, settling the debt, et cetera, and so forth.
But there has to be some relation. I just can't pick some arbitrarily.
Maybe I have a corporation incorporated in Delaware. Maybe I have an office over there. Maybe I'm going to make payments in a bank in New York, you know, to an account that you have there. Who knows? You know, you could engineer it in such a way that you know because you chose this or that, it's ruled by laws of somewhere else. Last couple of years we had a lawsuit. The venue was a dispute. Of it, the company was in New York. Contract signed in Puerto Rico. We were living in Florida. It wound up having to be decided by the courts in Puerto Rico. And we hadn't lived there in forever. We actually had to file suit there.
Fun. Anything else to say about this, or should we move on?
No, we should move on.
Okay, we'll be back after this, guys.
You're in The Valley, AM 1620, and LigonierRadio.com. This is where you'll find your favorite songs. Everybody's doing a brand new dance now. Classic music for a classic American town, AM 1620, and in stereo at LigonierRadio.com, The Valley.
And we're back. And I did want to mention before we move on further, I did get one piece of feedback this last week. And it wasn't about anything particular we said, but our longtime listener, Matt, who I believe has said in the past he has listened to every show we've done since our first show
Seriously?
And he just dropped us a note. Well, first of all, he was he was annoyed that it was Friday afternoon and I still hadn't put the podcast out because I didn't put the podcast out till late Friday week. Yeah, I was late. I'd done most of the editing early Friday morning, but I didn't get to it before I started doing work stuff, and I did it during a break from work stuff late Friday afternoon. But late Friday afternoon Seattle time means it was after work hours on Friday East Coast time where he is, and he's like he couldn't listen to it on the drive home, I guess. So he was annoyed.
Okay, we're sorry.
But anyway. He basically just sent a note to say, hey, I haven't sent comments in a long time because usually I'm listening in the car, but I'm still listening. I'm still out here. So thank you very much for your loyal listenership. He did mention he skips the breaks.
Oh, well, it's okay. All right. You're all right. He's allowed. He's listened to enough of our yammer.
Yeah. And it's not like I've had any new ones in the last year or so. You've heard them all already. Anyway, so next, Russia. Now, you tweeted an article from someone. So we had a little bit of a Twitter discussion on this. So I used that as a starting.
I saved my responses for the show because I was going to say something. I'm like, let me just save it for
something. I figured. So here's the basic thing. The article that Yvonne tweeted a link to basically said, how can we tell if the sanctions are working? We already can look at all of these economic indicators. Russia is already really hurting. There are a number of economic indicators showing that, in fact, sanctions are having some sort of effect. And my response was basically, you know, in the end, the purpose of sanctions is not to inflict economic damage. The purpose of sanctions, at least nominally, and this is part of the debate, of course, at least nominally, the purpose of sanctions is to try to encourage policy change, is to try to encourage something different to happen. So my argument was, no, you can't say the sanctions are quote unquote effective because they're actually producing economic damage, because it's a very reasonable potential outcome that they produce tons and tons and tons and tons of damage. But no policy change.
My
argument is, in that case, if that happened, if we did tons and tons of economic damage but no policy change, my argument is, in that case, the sanctions are not successful. In fact, they're a huge failure because they produce damage without getting the result that you wanted out of them. Now, having said that, there are two counter arguments to that that I will pre-counter-argue before you do, Yvonne.
Well, I'm not even having... It's not even a counter-argument, because I think you're right, by the way.
Okay, let me give you the two things. Number one is, yes, Sam, that's true. However, no policy change is going to happen until a significant amount of economic damage is achieved. And so, therefore, measuring the economic damage first is sort of a necessary prerequisite before you get to thinking about, you know, is anybody changing policy? Two is, of course, policy change is potentially very long term. So you may not see that for years down the line. And the third point is that sometimes the purpose of sanctions is to try to get somebody to change their policy. But sometimes the purpose of sanctions is actually just to punish people for things they've already done. And if the purpose is punishment, then who cares if they change? We're causing damage because they did XYZ in the past.
Yes, but here's the other thing that I was going to mention. Okay, it's just the one thing that I mentioned about the sanctions. Okay, there's two things about sanctions effectiveness. The one first one that you mentioned is absolutely correct. If you don't get the policy change that you want, yes, then it's not doing everything that you want. Okay, agreed. No question with that. But there's also been a lot of times where sanctions have been put in place that don't actually do what the inflict any pain on who the hell we put sanctions on, because there's so many loopholes to it that the sanction was completely ineffectual. So you have to measure whether the sanction is, number one, okay, is it causing what you designed the sanction to do? Is it causing them to more difficult financial transactions?
And this is sort of what I was saying. You have to measure the damage it's causing first, because if it's not causing damage, then you're not going to get the policy.
Then exactly. And then, okay, great. Okay, beautiful. So you're causing the damage. Now, whether the intended sanction was to be punitive or whether you were expecting a policy change, I think it's two different things. Because I guess my thing is that, I mean, I've seen many sanctions placed in a lot of places where the sanction has not stopped anything from happening. So what the hell's the point? It's like the embargo on Cuba right now. The reality is the Cuban economy is screwed. It's got nothing to do so much on the U.S. embargo on Cuba, the economy in Cuba. It's got more to do with the fact that the country's fucked up. I mean, because they got free trade with almost every country. The European Union trades freely in China, and everybody else trades freely with them. It's not like we stop anything from getting there, okay? We really don't. But so that sanction in and of itself is completely ineffectual, okay? You know, it's just a waste of time. So I guess that was the thing that I was just pointing out about the article, that, you know, these are not sanctions that have been put that have been symbolic. They have had substantial effect on the Russian economy. Now, whether Putin cares, that's another story. you know?
Right. And I frankly think the other thing with sanctions, I mentioned they're being long term. It's also, if you're trying to measure by policy change, that can be a very long wait, and then you suddenly get change. Like, if you look at, the South African example with the sanctions there, or Iran.
Yeah, it took a very long time.
And with both Iran and South Africa, there were sanctions were in place for years and years and years and years with no noticeable... I mean, you could measure the economic impact, like we were talking, but you didn't see policy change happen because of it. And then in both cases, you sort of, in a relatively short period of time compared to the length of time sanctions were on, suddenly things started moving.
Right.
And you had very rapid change because, you know, all of the pieces fell into place to start having things happen. And of course, in Iran, it's still ongoing. We have yet to see the end results. But you have that sort of dynamic to it that and you've got all kinds of other things going on, too. So even then, at the end of that, it's hard to definitively say, did this change happen because of the sanctions, or did it happen in spite of the sanctions, or would it have happened no matter what the hell you did? It's hard to determine that. And I mean, people have done studies and tried to make cases for all sides of that argument in various cases where sanctions have been used before.
I do totally believe that if there were no sanctions on South Africa, apartheid would have gone on for a hell of a lot longer time than it did.
And I think you're probably right, but it is a debatable thing that academics can argue about for years.
They can argue about it, but similarly, I think
on other cases, and you mentioned the Cuban example. You know, have the sanctions against Cuba been quote unquote effective?
I don't think they have at all.
Yeah,
I don't think they have at all because in part, like I mentioned, is because the damn sanctions are not having the intended impact on Cuba that people are intending. It's not stopping Cuba from doing business. They're doing really whatever the hell they want. I mean, the reason why the Cuban economy is fucked has nothing to do with us, honestly, with our embargo. It's because
the embargo can't help, right?
It doesn't help, but it's not the leading cause of why the Cuban economy is messed
up. I mean, pre-revolution, a lot of Cuba's trade was with the U.S., right?
Yes, true. But the reality is that right now, with trade being as open and as clear as it is like right now, I mean, right now, if we lifted the sanctions, it's not like the Cuban economy is just going to go through the roof or something because we're holding it back. I think that a lot of people in the U.S. that would invest in Cuba are probably Cubans, and they are hell-bent on not spending one damn dime in Cuba until basically the Castro regime falls.
Okay, so back to Russia. So the sanctions that have been put in place, even though lots of people have criticized them as being not significant enough, are actually having a significant impact already, even without them going as far as some people would like, correct?
Yes.
So
absolutely. I mean, look.
So what?
The Russian government has not tried 10 auctions of government bonds in the last year, not been able to issue any bonds once. Okay. There's significant shortages of a whole bunch of different products that people used to find. There are impacts on the economy. Are they to an extent that right now that they're like, you know, gonna cry uncle? I don't think Vladimir at this point, he's willing to take the. To take it, but you know, it just depends how bad it gets.
That's the question. What do you think is going to happen here? Is our friend
Putin? I think the Russian economy is going to continue to suffer. I just don't know. Putin.
Yeah, that's the question. Forget. Let's take it as a given that the Russian economy is going to suffer.
I don't think he cares. I don't think he cares. I think that right
think
now the only reason
else
we're
cares?
Doing a bad
Do you think this is something where you know a year from now Putin won't be in power anymore because people will take him out because
no,
you know, nothing like that?
Well, you know what? Russia's been like that. Well, let me take that back. Russia has been a country where occasionally all of a sudden, you know, people get fed up and all of a sudden a guy gets, you know, deposed. I mean, that's reality. I mean, think of how regime change happened in Russia over the last like 40 years. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if all of a sudden, you know, If his popularity collapses and people are struggling, that all of a sudden, well, you know,
I think you actually have to go back more than 40 years to get the real. I mean, you had the attempted deposition of Gorbachev, but you know, before that, it was old people dying for a while.
No, but you had you had when Khrushchev got removed.
Well, right, okay. That's more than 40 years ago.
Okay, so you got Khrushchev removed.
That's all I'm saying is more. But listen, 40 years.
I mean, ago. Gorbachev was forced out.
Yes, in the end, he was forced out, yes.
In the end, he was forced out, so that's another one.
But,
that's another forced out.
It wasn't exactly a coup in the end.
It wasn't a coup, but he was forced out, okay? So, you know, what I'm saying, in one way or another, the change in Russia, there's been multiple times over the last 40, 50 years where it's not been, let's just say, smooth.
Well, okay, it's not time for our prediction show yet, but a year from now, do you think that we'll look back and say...
Putin's still in power.
Not just Putin's still in power, but do you think we'll be talking and saying, hey, you know, those sanctions really worked. Putin, either he was gone or Putin said, you know, this Ukraine stuff isn't worth it. I'm out of there.
I don't think he's budging. I really don't think he's budging. I think the guy, I mean.
Do you think they're going to fess up and say, sorry for the plane?
That might happen at some point. That may happen. They may throw that out as an olive branch at some point.
You know, and of course, people have been pointing out ever since the plane crash. You know, if we hold it to a standard, like let's say it wasn't actually Russian troops who hit the button, although there's a chance it was Russian troops who hit the button. But let's say they gave arms to the separatists and the separatists do it. You know, and we hold Russia responsible for it because they gave them the weapons. Yeah, we give lots of people weapons. They don't necessarily do things
totally,
we like with them.
Totally agree, but I mean, just as one
example, of course, most of the weapons in the Israeli-Gaza conflict on the Israel side are from us. Half of the weapons in Syria are from us.
Let's put it to you this way. We did shoot down an Airbus 300 with a bunch of Iranians once, okay?
Yep.
And it took a while for us to go and like just own up to the fact, yeah, we fucked up, you know? So, you know. And we shot it down. We didn't give weapons to somebody else.
Although I think you mentioned it was about 2 weeks, and we're at the 2 weeks.
They didn't officially apologize, but yeah, by the 2 weeks went by, they were like, we fucked up.
So, but I guess here's my thing here with the sanctions. I think you and I agree that chances are, who knows, some strange event may happen, but chances are, if we're talking summer 2015, we're not going to be talking about how Putin, because of the sanctions, backed down on everything and, you know, retreated and, you know, the Ukraine is peaceful and Western and blah, 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 and he apologized and blah, blah, blah. We're not going to be hearing that. So the question comes back to, okay, then what is the real goal of these sanctions? Is it actually?
I think it's punitive.
Yeah, exactly. Is it actually more of a punishment? I think it is. We don't really think we're going to change anybody's mind. We're just punishing them for what they've already done.
Yes, I think it is almost strictly punitive at this point. I really do.
And so, what the fuck's the point of that?
Deterrence from him doing something else, that the next time he thinks about it, that to understand there may be some consequences, perhaps.
Do you think it'll actually work as deterrence either?
I think it does work as a deterrent. I really
do. So, like, he's not going to back down from the things he's already done, but maybe he'll think twice about it.
Maybe he'll think twice about doing something else more drastic. I think that the answer is yes. I do think so.
As opposed to doubling down.
Yes.
And saying, screw you guys. You've already done your best.
Yeah, you show you never do anything. Fuck you. I'm going to do something else. Yeah, I really do.
So a year from now, we're not going to talk about how he's taking over Poland or something.
Correct. Yes, I really don't think so.
Okay, let's take another break. We'll be back. We'll talk about what was it? Oh, this stupid impeachment stuff.
I don't know. You can't change subjects, you know.
Yeah, well, we'll be back after this.
This is a break, oh yes, this is a break. This is a break, cause no one gave me any suggestions. I told you, I warned you. So this is a break, this is a wonderful break. A wonderful break, yes indeed, this is a break. This is a break in the middle of Curmudgeon's Corner. Yes, this is a break. Yes, yes. This is a break, 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 break. Yes, 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 this is a break. Yes, this is a break, 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 break. Yes, it is a break. And now, and now, and now, and now the break is over.
Okay, here we are.
Show better be recording. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, it's recording. I see the pieces. I got it.
All right, good.
I could accidentally delete them.
I would prefer if you didn't.
Okay. So, the impeachment stuff, and we talked a little bit about the politics of this.
Impeach!
Look, the latest drama on this last week, is a whole bunch of Republicans saying, why the hell are all you Democrats talking about impeachment? We're not talking about impeachment. And there have been a number of charts, by the way, that actually back this up in terms of, like, MSNBC has been talking about impeachment a lot more than Fox News has.
I do believe that. I can certainly believe.
And the Democrats have been, you know, using this for fundraising purposes, left, right, well, I guess left, mainly. in terms of pushing, look at what the Republicans are doing. Look at what the Republicans are doing. Give us money. And apparently the Democrats have made a boatload of money off talking about how the Republicans want to impeach. So I actually fully believe that the Democrats have been talking about this more than the Republicans. Even the president mentioned it a couple times. However, it isn't fair to say the Democrats started this. You know,
they have been milking it.
Oh, yes, they've absolutely been milking it.
Yes,
there are a number of Republicans, and the key is, of course, the Republicans who are talking about this, who are talking about impeachment, and we've got, you know, the Sarah Palins of the world, and you know, a bunch of people. These aren't the leadership Republicans.
No, these are the crackpot Republicans.
But the thing is, the crackpot Republicans have, you know, a really good access to the microphone.
Yeah, they do.
And they get lots of attention.
Yes, they do.
And one of the topics that, you know, we may not get to the day, they killed the immigration thing that Republicans were trying to push.
Yes, they did.
You know, and so this all gets back to that question again about sort of, you know, where did the Republicans go on to do? What do they want to do? Does leadership have any ability whatsoever to control their caucus? And basically the answer is no. You know, and so, you know, is impeachment going to happen? Probably not. But when you have a bunch of loud people talking about it, you know, then it makes noise. And it starts driving the agenda. And yes, the Democrats are going to make hay out of it. Of course they are.
Of course they are. Are you kidding me? Yeah, I'm going to get every mile we can out of it.
Look at these yahoos.
Right.
Now, of course, you know, even let's say, you know, and I remember saying this when people were talking about, because the Democrats did the same damn thing. There were Democrats talking about impeaching Bush for various things. And of course, the Republicans did impeach Clinton. But, you know, the answer to all of these is always, okay, so you really would like Biden a lot more? they might. Funny. I don't know.
They might. I don't know.
But you know, it's all a lot of noise. Nothing's going to happen. And as we've discussed many times before, if it did happen, you know, you can't get it past the Senate either.
Right.
Even if you did, even if the
Republicans win the Senate,
The Republicans win the Senate next year, you still can't. You're not going to be able to get a conviction. The most you'll do is you'll make a lot of noise, and you'll make...
And you'll look like idiots.
You look like idiots, and you sort of... You're already guaranteed, based on the setup that we have, that, you know, Obama's not going to make a lot of legislative progress, you know, between now and the end of his term. Right. Anything he achieves is going to be through executive action only, pretty much, unless we get, you know, random things. Like, there was actually a bill passed about the VA this week where it passed almost unanimously. And yes, you'll get an occasional thing of bipartisan agreement here, but it's rare and far between. Yeah, so nothing's going to happen the next couple years anyway, so you'll just make a lot of noise, you'll make yourselves look stupid. And so they're not going to... Look, here's the thing. The leadership has been shown to... They get pushed around by their caucus a little bit, but when push comes to shove, at the end of the day, you know, Bonnier, specifically in the House, has shown over and over and over again that when you're about to go over the cliff, he will make a deal and have the Republican leadership vote with the Democrats to keep the Republican crazies for doing whatever they wanted to do.
Yeah, I know. Well.
You know, and it's just amusing that's the dynamic, but it is. I mean, we had an opportunity again for the leadership to change, and, it didn't. Even when, what's his name lost? What was the name lost? See, we forget so soon.
Oh, the whatchamacallit, the Speaker of the House. Not
the Speaker, the Majority Leader.
Majority Leader. Moron, the douchebag, I don't know, something, whatever his name is. I'm sorry,
The point is, he lost, and another establishment guy won replace him. It was not... any of the more radical Republicans that won.
No.
And so, you know, the establishment retains control over the party. And I'm not saying that that'll always be the case, but it's the case right now when push comes to shove on important issues. However, you know, they've also shown that, you know, like this immigration thing, they can't push through something that the base doesn't want either.
Yep.
Unless they've got Democratic support on it.
Right.
I don't know. It's amusing, but it's amusing that the Democrats are talking about it a whole lot more than Republicans, because all it took was a few Republicans saying, hey, we should do this, you know, that are, you know, not really controlling huge bases of power, aren't able to push their agenda. They do hold a base of power, but not enough to push their agenda through the Congress. And the Democrats run with it. And so, yes, the Democrats have been talking about it a hell of a lot more than the Republicans have. And, you know, that's the way it works. I should say, it's exactly the same dynamic as, in the last election cycle, when you had those Republican candidates talking about legitimate rape and things like that. You know, they make a few statements that, you can take and run with, you know?
Yeah.
And of course, yeah, their opposition is going to do it.
I just thought it's just kind of a funny circus at this point. I mean, that's pretty much what it is. I mean, it's nothing else.
Yeah, so I mentioned briefly earlier, and we talked about the Senate. It is looking extremely close. I tweeted at least one article about this in the last week, but you know the modeling that's being done on this is as practically close to a toss up as you can possibly get in terms of Senate control. Apparently, a good fraction of the simulated model runs that are done by various of these simulators are actually ending up with a 50-50 tie that's broken by Joe Biden. But very easily, it's 51-49 instead. Very easily, it's the other direction. You know, at this point, all of the models are saying you might as well flip a coin. And it seems like it's coming down to only a handful of Senate races, like a lot that a couple months ago that people thought were in contention have sort of moved to one side or another for one reason or another, and people are fairly confident about them. What was the article I tweeted yesterday, earlier today, whatever? It said, essentially we're down to four races that are actually competitive. And it's evenly split other than those four. And those four are going to get tons and tons of money poured into them and are highly dynamic, but look very, very close right now. So could go anyway.
It could go anyway. And I don't know. I gotta, you know, policy-wise, let's face it.
And by the way, that was an article by Sam Wang, and then there were four,
Even if the Republicans capture the Senate, okay, all right, I mean, it doesn't really, in practical terms, especially in the last 2 years, basically a lame duck end of a frickin' presidency, I don't think it makes much of a damn difference. I mean, what difference really policy-wise or anywise is it going to make? I mean,
our predictions at the beginning of the year were basically no significant change. And, you know, and I predicted the Senate would not flip, and that's still, yeah, 50-50 shot. I could be right. But as you said, even if it does flip, because the dynamics of the Senate, the supermajority needed for lots of stuff, even though we had the nuclear option thing, not much is going to get done anyway. If you don't the House...
It doesn't matter which way it goes.
The only place it potentially makes a difference is on, the Senate could do the nuclear option on more types of appointment approvals. And so, you know, it might make a difference in terms of improvements for cabinet positions and judges and
no, I hear you, but the one thing is, let's face it, I mean, it's going to be the last 2 years of a freaking, you know, going to be lame duck. I mean, I'm sure that Obama's probably going to try to make sure that he gets in as many fucking appointments as much as he can even before this Senate is out. Okay, all right, especially if he knows it. So, I don't know. I don't think in practical terms it makes much of a damn difference either way.
I think you're probably right, but let's imagine as the possible example, sometime in the last 2 years of Obama's presidency, one of the conservative Supreme Court justices drops dead.
Well, it's going to be one hell of a fight in her hands.
If a liberal justice, you know, retires or goes or whatever, Obama replaces him with a liberal, it doesn't change the balance of the court. And the Republicans can be a little obstructionist, but in the end, as long as he appoints somebody somewhat moderate, it'll go through. But if one of the conservatives leaves the court for whatever reason, and I say they drop dead because the justices for the last few decades have very consistently chosen not to retire until a president of their party is in power. Yeah, they will hold on and wait.
Right.
Because they don't want to be replaced by someone from the other side.
Listen, even if the Senate is a Republican Senate, the reality is that, you know, the nominees that Obama has put forward have not been the type of deeply divisive nominees that I will say that a lot of Republicans put forth, like people like a moron Clarence Thomas, for example, or these other fucking bozos.
No, but I'll tell you the dynamic will be different though. Because all of the cases we've had basically in both your and my political lifetimes are, you know, conservative justices going away during Republican presidencies and liberal justices going away during Democratic presidencies.
Yeah.
The first time you have the opposite situation happen, either a conservative leaving during a Democratic administration or vice versa, a liberal during a Republican, you would see the battle be much more heated if there was a dispute. Like, I would see the nuclear option hit on if it was necessary to get somebody through in the Senate. You'd see the people being much more obstructionist. You might even see that the whole thing in the Senate where even a single senator can potentially stop things. It depends. I don't know how far it would go. Would they try to keep that Supreme Court seat vacant for the entire rest of the presidency? I don't know. Maybe if they thought it was important enough.
Maybe. Who knows?
Anyway. Fun stuff. I think you're mostly right, though. It's not going to make a huge difference because either way, it's going to be a closely divided Senate, and you need you need a bigger majority than that to really do a lot. And as long as the House is defiantly Republican, and not very many people right now are talking about any realistic chances of the Democrats taking back the House, then you're not doing anything anyway.
That's right. Absolutely right. Well, anyway, I just clicked on somebody to publish an article being, I guess, very optimistic, called The End of Vladimir Putin. So I don't know. So somebody's thinks his head's going to roll. I don't buy that, but
you know, we'll see when we get to our predictions show. Who knows? I may go out on that limb.
All right.
My dog thinks we should wrap it up.
All right, let's wrap it up.
I do have one additional thing to mention. You know, earlier I had said my wife and son and everybody were at the mall. They were having dinner. While we were taping this last segment, of course we don't use tape. While we were recording this last segment,
yeah, I'm taping, really.
you could tell what generation I'm from.
Yes, we are from.
Yes. Anyway, I
buy Sonys. There you go.
I got these texts from my wife, and I just thought I would share. Alex is very upset with me. His iPad battery died, and he decided to go plug it in.
Okay.
I caught him halfway to the parking lot. They were at a restaurant. He was heading. He said I was a bad mommy because I would not let him to go to the car alone without the keys to plug in his iPad. Now he's lying down on the floor under the table rebooting, or maybe going to sleep. So anyway, he decided he needed to go plug in the iPad, and he knew he could plug it in the car, so he just took off running for the car.
Okay.
There you go.
There you go. All right, so that's what you're battling with. Okay, cool.
And I think we're done.
All right, we're out. Let's check out.
As usual, email me, abelsmay@abelsmay.com, or you can contact us on Twitter. I'm at abelsmay. Yvonne is at imbo.
And I've got more followers. I don't know if you've noticed. My count is up.
Your count is up?
Yes.
We have to do a quick check. Where are you?
I'm at some number. It's a lot more than before. I have 24.
Oh, you're getting up there.
Well, you know, I started really small. It's getting up there.
You probably started at zero. Most people do.
True. I'm sure I did. Yes. But by the time I had like a few followers, even though I didn't use Twitter. Let's put it to you that way. Anyway, all right. Sayonara, everybody.
Yes.
Bye.
Thank you, everybody. Have a great week. We'll talk to you again next time. Goodbye.
Bye.